Brethren in Positions of Responsibility. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California. January 6, 1908. To those bearing responsibilities in Washington and other centers, God has given me a message for those men who are carrying responsibilities in Washington and other centers of the work. This is a time when the work of God should be conducted with the strictest integrity by every conference, a time when there should be the closest observance of the law of God on the part of every worker. When the Lord favors any of His servants with worldly advantages, it is that they may use those advantages for the benefit of the work. And it is the privilege of accredited workers appointed to this responsibility to accept gifts or loans to help in doing the work that needs to be done. Forbiddings are not to be exercised by the conference, or by others who feel that they have authority to do so, that will deny the workers the privilege of accepting such loans and gifts as men and women are willing to make them. They should be allowed to go to the people to solicit help. Properly conducted, this is a line of work that the Lord commends. This matter has been presented to me again and again. I now bear my testimony in the name of the Lord to those whom it concerns. Wherever you are, withhold your forbiddings. The work of God is not to be thus trammeled. The Lord has directed Brethren Sutherland and Megan, men of sound principles, to establish the work at Madison. They have devised and planned and sacrificed in order to carry the work there after God's order. But the work has been long in coming to completion. It is the privilege of these brethren to receive gifts from any of our people whom the Spirit of the Lord impresses to help. They should have means, God's means, with which to do the Lord's work. The Madison enterprise has been crippled in the past, but this has not been God's desire. If this work had been regarded in the light that God regarded it and had been given the needed help, we should long ere this have had a flourishing plant at Madison. The people are to be, not forbidden, but encouraged, to give of their means to this work, which is preparing students in a sensible and creditable way to go forth to proclaim the soon coming of Christ and to close up the work on the earth. There is business to be done for God. Help is to be sought from every possible source. There are those who have the faculty of securing means for the cause of God, and no hand of restraint is to be laid upon those who are doing this work successfully. They are surely laborers together with God, who gave His life for the salvation of souls. The Lord selected the farm at Madison, and He signified that it should be worked on right lines, that others, learning from the workers in Madison, might take up a similar work and conduct it in a like manner. Brethren Sutherland and Megan are chosen of God and faithful, and the Lord of Heaven says of them, "I have a work for these men to do in Madison, a special work in educating and training young men and women for missionary fields." The Spirit of the Lord is with His workers. He has not restricted the labors of these self-denying, self-sacrificing men. The school at Madison not only educates in a knowledge of the Scriptures, but it gives a practical training that fits the student to go forth as a self-supporting missionary to the field to which he is called. In his student days, he is taught how to build, simply and substantially, how to cultivate the land and care for the stock. All these lines are of great educational value. To this is added the knowledge of how to treat the sick and care for the injured. This training for medical missionary work is one of the grandest objects for which any school can be established. There are many suffering from disease and injuries who, when relieved of pain, will be prepared to listen to the truth. Our Savior was a mighty healer. In His name, there may be many miracles wrought in the South and in other conferences through the instrumentality of the trained medical missionary. Therefore, centers for training must be formed. The class of education given at the Madison School is such as will be accounted a treasure of great value by those who take up missionary work in foreign fields. My brethren, let no hindrance be placed in the way of men and women who are seeking to gain such an education as those at the Madison School are receiving. They are working after the Lord's directions. If many more in other schools were receiving a similar training, we as a people would become a spectacle to the world, to angels, and to men. The message should quickly be carried to every country, and souls now in darkness would be brought to the light. These men, under the special light the Lord has given, are not to be hindered in any way, for the Lord is leading them. It would have been pleasing to God if, while the Madison School has been doing its work, similar schools had been established in different parts of the southern field. No soul should be left in darkness if by any possible means he can be enlightened. There is plenty of land lying waste in the south that might have been improved as the land about the Madison School has been improved. The time is soon coming when God's people, because of persecution, will be scattered in many countries. Those who have received an all-round education will have the advantage wherever they are. The Lord reveals divine wisdom in thus leading his people to the training of all their faculties and capabilities for the work of disseminating truth. Every possible means should be devised to establish schools of the Madison Order in various parts of the South, and those who lend their means and their influence to help this work are aiding the cause of God. I am instructed to say to those who have means to loan or to give, help the work at Madison. You have no time to lose. Satan will soon rise up to create hindrances, plenty of them. I am instructed to say to these men, follow the instruction of the Lord. Let the work go forward while it may. This is no time for weakness to be woven into our experience. Do not spend money for story magazines and cheap literature, now so often found in your homes. But take your means, that which you have invested in houses and lands and bank stock, and say, I will use this in employing men and women to give the last message of warning to the world. The workers at Madison are capable of giving right instruction, and they should be encouraged. This is a work that the Lord will approve. When the Holy Spirit is allowed to mold our hearts and lives, there will be much more confidence expressed in the workers who are now struggling with difficulties in hard places. Each worker needs to take his own individual case before the Lord and examine himself, instead of examining the fancied shortcomings of his brother. We each need to realize our own weakness and be constantly on guard. Satan is watching to take us unawares, and many are ignorant of their own defects of character. We need to read and understand the message of Ezekiel 2. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children, and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious, like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth, and eat that I give thee. Verses 1 to 8. Again the prophet writes, The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness, and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. Ezekiel 3, verse 16 to 21. The Lord is calling for men and women to guard their own houses and families. Instead of watching their fellow workers, trying to block their way, and regarding with jealousy their outgoings and incomings, they should turn their attention to self. The Lord has a report to make of every soul who would restrict the liberty of another. There is a watcher who is taking the measure of character and will judge accordingly. The Lord's message of mercy is to be borne to a people long neglected. Ministers and people, God speaks to you, saying, I have sent these men, and they are not to be hindered. The jealousy revealed by some who claim to be in the truth plainly reveals that unless their hearts are changed, they will never be overcomers. Unless they respond to the subduing, sanctifying influences of the grace of God, they will never wear the crown of life. Some are very zealous in carrying out a work of hindrance when the Lord has given them no such work to do. The representation given in Ezekiel 47, verse 1 to 12, is an illustration of the way in which the truth for this time is to go. A large work is to be done by many who have begun in a small way. Many souls will be reached, not through display, not through any devising on the part of man, but through the working of the Holy Spirit on the hearts of human agencies. The Savior worked in this way. When his methods become the methods of his followers, his blessings will attend their labors. In the work being done at Madison, we have an illustration of the way in which the message should be carried in many places. I would say to the workers there, continue to learn of Christ. Do not be daunted. Be free in the Lord. Be free. Thus far, an acceptable work has been done in Madison. The Lord says to you, go forward. My brethren in responsible places, mourn not over the work that is being done in the highways and hedges in the south. God has specified that this work should be done. Those who have tried to block the way have not been led by the Spirit of God. Cease your criticisms of God's servants and humble your own hearts before the Lord, that he may show you the right way. Let this company alone to continue their work. And go thou and encourage others to do a similar work. Then the light of truth will be carried in a simple but effective way, and a great work will be accomplished for the Master. Do not worry lest some means shall go to those who are trying to do missionary work in a quiet way. All the means is not to be handled by one organization or one party. The Lord works through various agencies. If there are those who desire to step into new fields and take up new lines of labor, forbid them not, but encourage them to do so. Seventh-day Adventists are doing a good work. Let no brother's hand be raised to hinder it. Those who have had experience in the work of God should be encouraged to follow the guiding and counsel of the Lord. God is being faithfully served by these whom you are watching and criticizing. You should discern that they fear and honor the Lord. They are laborers together with him. God forbids you to put yokes on the necks of his servants. Brethren Sutherland and Megan have a right to solicit means for the support of the Madison School. This wonderful burden to restrict their work, which some suppose God has bestowed upon them with their official position, has never been laid upon them. If they were standing free on the high platform of truth, they would never accept the responsibility of framing rules and regulations that will hinder and cramp the laborers in their work for this time. When they learn the lesson that all ye are brethren, Matthew 23, verse 8, and realize that their fellow workers sometimes know just as well as they do how to use in the wisest way the talents and capabilities entrusted to them, they will remove the yokes that they are now binding upon them and will give them credit for love for souls and a desire to labor unselfishly to promote the interests of the cause. Those who desire to wear Christ's yoke will heed the invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Matthew 11, verse 28-29. To all who would mark out a certain, definite course for their brother to pursue, the Lord says, "Stand out of the way." Satan and his emissaries are doing enough of this kind of work. We are altogether too near the close of this earth's history to seek to block the wheels of the chariot of truth. God's workers are to come into line, to pray together, to counsel together. And whenever it is impossible for them to gather for counsel, God will instruct through his Spirit those who sincerely desire to serve him.